plan to get into my heart and do some house cleaning. My ears are working. My eyes are seeing. And my heart is perceiving. This message is for me. Amen? I'm taking you to 1 Peter. And there's been one verse that's been, let's say, pressuring me for several days now. And that is, it's verse 9.
Which now, chapter?
Chapter 1. Sorry. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Now, we're going to back it up, but verse 9 is the goal. That's the verse that's been in my heart all week. Okay? For you are receiving the goal of your faith. I'm using the NIV because it's the clearest. I double-checked a few others, but this is the clearest way that you can see the word. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. So you say, well, the goal of my faith, that's my walk with God. My walk with God is faith-filled. It is constantly declaring what the unseen needs to transform into a blessing for me. Whatever darkness is out there, the goal of my faith is to have what? And this is what it is. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls with an S. That's the salvation of your mind, your will, and your emotions. You say, well, wasn't that saved when I went and accepted Jesus as my Lord? I've got news for you. Peter had a walk with God. 3.5 years. Okay? Pretty darn good walk. 3.5 years. Seeing the people rise out of the dead. You know, I mean, that's not a bad record. Okay? Watching Lazarus, dead 4 days. Peter watched right there, okay? So you've got to remember, Peter is not like me and you, coming out of darkness into an instant light. It was a 3.5 year transition. From a fisherman that was actually on a boat, doing his thing with his friends and his employees, and now he's learning to become a fisher of men, which is what Jesus was, you know, trying to tell him. So when you're looking at Peter, you're looking at a man who also denied the Lord. Did he know what was in his soul, his mind, his will, his emotions, when he said, I never knew him? Oh, I'm not a Galilean. The rooster crows. I don't like that idea when the rooster crows, because I've been there. You've got a walk with God, you're supposedly a godly man, but the things of this flesh, the things of the mind games, are still ruling and reigning in you. Whoops. Am I the only one? If you and I think that we have been saved in our soul, mind, will, and emotions, then we should have different reactions. Okay? And so when those different reactions take place, it's because your mind, your will, and your emotions are no longer pushing your buttons. You're learning to put your foot out there. When he says, put your foot out there. Yes or no? Yes. You're learning to get up and say to the doctor, whoa, I'm a man too. And you know what you reminded me of is, my father-in-law lived with us for 27 years. And when he got very ill, it was very difficult because he got hit in 3 or 4 areas, and one of them was prostate issues. So now we're going to see the doctor for like 6 months or 8 months or whatever it was, follow-up. Now this doctor is, I would say, 5'5", 5'7", okay? And he weighs about 320. So he starts picking on my father-in-law when we first sit into that room. Okay? We've had the physical, and everything was seemingly okay. So we sit down, and the doctor says, well, you know, he says, Emil, you need to lose some weight. Now, my father-in-law at that time, I probably weighed me 220, 218, but he's almost 5'10". Okay? My father-in-law looked at him square in the face, and he says, when you give me the example, I'll follow. When you give me the example, I will follow. In other words, are you going to pick on me? Thank you. So, hear me when I say this. I'm not picking on doctors.
No.
I am not. I am very grateful. I have some wonderful people that are doctors in my life. But when you and I worship at their altar, they know it, and you're paying the bill. When you are going to the funeral home, they're doing what? And you're paying the
bill.
When you go shopping, you are the one that's going to pay the bill. So you need wisdom. And when you cry out for wisdom, God will give it to you. And if you don't ask, you will not.
Yes.
You won't receive it. You're not going to get it. So go back now. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Verse 1.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To God's elect. Now, when you say to God's elect, you are taking that as a new creation. When you are born of the Spirit, you are a new creation and you are the elect of God. You're not the average yo-yo. You might have more in you than that doctor or that person that you put on a pedestal, a lot higher than you realize. The next verse is, or the next section, strangers in the world. Ponder on that. Strangers in the world. You are not average from Holy Spirit's point of view. And Peter is making you aware of it. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. When you digest that and you realize it and you believe it, your whole being is going to be different. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. He's the Father of your spirit, and he didn't leave you the way you came into this realm. You came into this realm, and your spirit was released in your mother's womb because of God's plan to bring you into this realm for a reason and for a season. Now, again, the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So who is going to sanctify me and you? Holy Spirit. And when you think you can get along without him, well, you're going to have to really make an adjustment and ask Holy Spirit to make that clear. And the workings of the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. You see, that little section, two verses, can change everything about you if you start believing it. If you don't believe it, you're going to stay in the control room of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Back to verse 9. You will never be completed. Because you're trusting in the natural man, and the natural man does not understand the things of God. The natural mind, the natural emotions, the natural body, it just doesn't cut it. But Holy Spirit was released into this realm for the obedience to Jesus Christ. So the anointed one, Jesus himself, released his spirit, and he covered you and me with his blood, so we can stand up to someone and say, look, I'm just as important, I have just as much value, so respect me, and I will continue to respect you. But if you don't respect me, there's a reason for me to speak up. And you need to do so. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, or kept in the heavenly realm for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in, and you better underline this part, in the last time. That's this season. We are in the end days. We are in the last times. This is why that it is so crucial that we awaken to the reality that yes, hell is still in control of the earth. It's being pushed around and you can see it. But the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times is for you and me. This revelation that he's going to keep on giving us is going to awaken us to the real purpose of why he sent us into this realm at this time. You say, well, my parents were. Your parents were for the season that they were in. Your grandparents were in the season that they were in. You and I are in this season for the season that we are living in today. And the crucial part is that the salvation of the soul, mind, will, and emotions is crucial for us to get to the next level. God cannot put in his seven spirits into us when we think that we are still in the control. When we have Holy Spirit in the control, he can then what? Give us enlightenment. He can give us revelation. And then we will step out and we won't argue with him. When we're arguing with him, who is at stake? Leviathan, the king of pride. Okay? That king of pride wants to control at any price. Okay? And I had an incident in my life for a season, I would say maybe about 7 or 8 years. And when I learned about what Leviathan was doing to me and was pushing my buttons and I didn't know, I was blaming the person. Did you ever blame the person? Okay. Well, blaming the person isn't according to Ephesians 6:12. My battle is not against flesh and blood. But when all I could see was the person, I was in trouble. And Holy Spirit took a while for me to awaken by revelation. Okay? It came a little bit at a time so I could digest it. And I'm not going to go into a lot of the details. I'm just going to say to you, when I learned about Leviathan, I had a word of knowledge that bounced into my heart like this verse, and it wouldn't let go. And it was in one of the Psalms, and it spoke about Leviathan being in control. Well, I had no clue what Leviathan was. Not, our church at the time at Grace did not teach about that. But God was on my case, because I was living it. I was in the space to learn it. Approximately, I would say July, Mo came over to my office, and she says, I have a word for you. And she said, God told me to tell you that Leviathan is going to be exposed. So I looked at her and I said, boy, I've been waiting for you. Holy Spirit. When did you get this message? Just now. And I'm thinking, boy, it could have been, you know, January, February, March, anywhere, but, you know, this whole long waiting period. So I went back home and I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? And he gave me the scriptures. So I went to the scriptures in Job, obviously, 40, 41, 42, and saw that Job got in trouble because of Leviathan. Well, now, in my natural mind, right away, I start judging. And I start finding fault with those that could have or should have. Guess who was using me? Didn't see it at the beginning because I was angry. When your anger is out there, what are you doing? You're under the anointing of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You're going according to what's happened to you. You're going to what hurts in you. And you are doing what mom did. And you're speaking death to something that should be the opposite. The blessings that should be in you are not coming out of your mouth. So, the awakening came when I realized, oh, I need to change it. I want to back it up again. Verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, John. Not some kinds. All kinds of trials. All means all. Okay? 7. These have come to your faith of greater works than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I thought he was revealed already. Where is he going to be revealed? He's going to be revealed in me. He's going to be visible in me, and my actions and reactions are going to prove it. The doctor will say, I can't stand this guy, but there's something about him. And why does he keep advertising the God factor? Okay? 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your mind, will, and emotions. The salvation of my mind, the salvation of my will and my emotions. You know, sounds like a lot of work, but it won't happen until you realize that it's available. And some of you are in the midst of this, or the partial walk, if you wish. I'm not there yet, and I know it. Because there are times that I see my soul takes over. My mind, will, and emotions want to rule because I've got an issue or I've got people around me with issues. Amen. Have you got some people in your spectrum with issues? How do you see yourself reacting? How do you react again at yourself when you see that you made a bad choice or said some bad things? You need to change it. Okay? 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you search intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time. Really? And circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. You know, when you see that the angels are waiting, why are they waiting? Because they cannot receive revelation unless it comes out of you. Hebrews chapter 1 says they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to you. If you think for one moment that you can't activate them, you can. You can activate them to work on your behalf. You can be protected. In fact, I had a discussion with someone this week, and it was about the angelic guardianship. And if you trust that God's angels are on the job, on your behalf, they will do what only the Lord will allow them to do concerning what they can do, because they're waiting for you to speak the word. They're waiting for me and you to speak healing to our bodies, healing to our emotions, healing to our minds and will. And it will happen. It will take place if you don't doubt. As soon as you and I doubt, what are you doing? Those are seeds of fear, little tiny seeds of fear, and they will literally blossom in front of your face. And the fear will cancel your faith. And you can't afford it. You need to declare it openly. And you need to trust that God's grace, see, it says that the grace that would be released would be for now, the end time. That special grace was not given 500 years ago when Martin Luther was receiving. It wasn't given 100 years ago when there was a revival in California. It is being repeatedly now coming into the activity of the saints, and there are sparks starting to function in different parts of the world to awaken us to this word, the salvation of our soul, mind, will, and emotions. And when that fully takes place, there'll be room for the next level. Then you say, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to take you to the promise that was given to us personally from the Holy Spirit. Now, we can talk about her. She's not here. February 13th. I want you to just close your eyes right now and say, Lord, I have ears that hear. And my eyes can see. These words are for me. I'm placing my hand on my heart because it needs to take this truth, which is coming from Holy Spirit, by revelation. I am living in the end times. And he's trying to prepare me. And I want him to. These are the words that came. A transition is happening in my people, whom I have called to be a light in these times and seasons in the world today. The transition is happening from within, starting with your spirit, then the soul and the body. This is happening individually and corporately. There will be a shaking. There will be a churning and a cleansing to prepare you for the new mantles of the seven spirits of God. They are new because they come to a more mature bride who is now ready to accept them. I have already placed mantles of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and revelation on many of you. Walk in them. Walk in them. Walk in them. The more you close the gap between your spirit and the soul, the easier it will be to walk and release what I have prepared for you to release. My heartbeat and yours are beating together. That is what is creating the shaking and the churning on the inside. Total compatibility, functioning as one heartbeat. Soon, what has been unseen will be visible to all that have eyes to see. That means the entire realm of the spirit will be visible to your naked eye. You want to see angels? Keep waiting. What he wants to do for you and me is greater than my desires. He's ready to release, but he's not going to release it until you're submissive to him. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I heard the words.
I heard the words.
I am a receiver believer.
I am a receiver.
So I'm receiving and believing that you will manifest this word. It will be a reality in me as I watch Holy Spirit transform me from what I was to what he's designed me to be. He didn't design a flop. He didn't design a failure. He designed a new creation. And I am a new creation. Made in the image and likeness of the firstborn Son, Jesus Christ himself. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Your purpose is being brought forth. And I am not an accident. I refuse that lie. I refuse the lies that have kept me in bondage. And I'm releasing a blessing to my heart so that I can complete the mission that God has prepared for me. So I'm blessing me now. I'm blessing me now. I'm telling you, Lord, I am blessing me. And I'm in agreement. You love me more than I could conceive. Hallelujah. You got it.